Good day, and welcome to the AMG Earnings Q3 2015 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Steve Daniels. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to AMG's third quarter 2015 earnings call. Joining me on this call are Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, the Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Amy Ard, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Eric Jackson, the Chief Operating Officer. AMG's third quarter 2015 earnings press release issued this morning is on AMG's website. Today's call will begin with a review of the third quarter 2015 business highlights by Dr. Schimmelbusch. Ms. Ard will comment on AMG's financial results, and Mr. Jackson will discuss operations. At the completion of Mr. Jackson's remarks, Dr. Schimmelbusch will comment on strategy and outlook. We will then open the call to take your questions. Before I pass the call to Dr. Schimmelbusch, I would like to read a statement concerning forward-looking statements. This conference call could contain forward-looking statements about AMG Advanced Metallurgical Group N.V. Forward-looking statements are not historical facts but may include statements concerning AMG's plans, expectations, projections, objectives, targets, goals, strategies, future events, future revenues or performance, capital expenditures, financing needs, plans and intentions relating to acquisitions, AMG's competitive strengths and weaknesses, plans or goals related to forecasted production, reserves, financial position, and future operations and development, AMG's business strategy, and the trends anticipated in the industries and the political and legal environment in which it operates, and other information that is not historical information. When used in this conference call, the words expects, believes, anticipates, plans, may, will, should, and similar expressions, and the negatives thereof, are intended to identify forward-looking statements. By their very nature, forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties, both general and specific, and risks exist that the projections, forecasts, predictions, and other forward-looking statements will not be achieved. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date of this conference call. AMG expressly disclaims any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statement contained herein to reflect any change in AMG's expectations with regard thereto, or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which any forward-looking statement is based. I will now pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Steve. During the third quarter of 2015, AMG generated $241.9 million of revenue, $20.4 million of EBITDA, and $27.7 million of operating cash flow. AMG Engineering achieved an EBITDA of $4.9 million during the quarter, the highest in nine quarters, making further progress towards our stated objective to reduce cost and return the engineering business to its historic levels of profitability. Order intake of $67.4 million in the quarter represented a 1.25 book-to-bill ratio. AMG Critical Materials remains profitable in all operating units, despite the collapse in metal prices and the unfavorable translation impact of foreign currency on reported earnings. AMG reduced net debt by $67.4 million in the first nine months of 2015 to $20.3 million presently, a net debt to last 12 months EBITDA ratio of 0.23. AMG has reduced net debt by over $125 million in the last five quarters, which equates to approximately $4.5 per share. I would now like to pass the floor to Amy Ard, AMG's Chief Financial Officer. Amy.
Thank you, Heinz. The main headline for this quarter is AMG's relatively strong results and debt reduction, despite the continued impact of currency and collapsing metals prices on reported results. As we noted last quarter, AMG's financial statements are prepared in U.S. dollars, so fluctuations in the exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and other currencies, primarily the euro, has an effect on the results of operations. The appreciation of the U.S. dollar compared to the euro resulted in an approximate reduction of $28 million in revenue and $3 million in EBITDA during the quarter. On a constant euro currency basis, AMG's third quarter 2015 EBITDA would have been $23 million, in line with the third quarter 2014. The commodity price collapse continues to affect both the revenue and gross profit of AMG. Critical materials continues to be profitable at these lower prices, albeit at lower levels compared to when metal prices are higher or increasing. The risk management measures taken since the last downturn have enabled the company to weather this metal price storm at higher profitability levels than previously experienced. AMG's critical materials third quarter 2015 revenue declined by $31 million compared to the third quarter of 2014, driven largely by the strength of the U.S. dollar relative to the euro and the extremely weak metal prices. The revenues of antimony, silicon, graphite, and titanium alloys and coatings are all materially affected by the exchange rate differential. Since most critical materials businesses are processing businesses that are based on market pricing, declining metal prices directly impact the top line as well. Volume did not play a material role in the declining revenue, except with respect to tantalum concentrates, which were most impacted by timing of deliveries. Gross profit for critical materials declined by $10 million in the third quarter of 2015 as compared to the same period in 2014, again on currency and metal prices. Gross margin percentage decreased to 14% due primarily to historically weak vanadium, nickel, and molybdenum prices. The rapid declines in these prices led to a non-cash inventory adjustment expense of $2 million in the quarter. Excluding the impact of this non-cash inventory adjustment, gross margin was 16%. Quarter-over-quarter volumes improved in antimony, but pricing pressure led to an overall gross profit decline in the quarter compared to the prior year. Tantalum gross profit declined primarily due to lower volume, as previously mentioned. The gross profit was also negatively impacted by the lower sales price following the amendment of AMG's long-term sales contract. Offsetting these negative effects, gross profit and local currency improved within silicon, graphite, and titanium alloys and coatings due to sales of higher margin products and lower operating costs. Lower SG&A costs partially offset the decline in overall gross profit, resulting in a reduction in EBITDA of $7 million in the quarter. AMG Engineering's third quarter 2015 U.S. dollar revenue decreased by 11% compared to the third quarter 2014. However, in local currency, revenue increased by over 5%. This improvement in revenue stems from the increase in the order intake in the fourth quarter of 2014. Gross margin increased substantially quarter over quarter due to the higher local currency revenues, improved project cost management, and product mix effects. The EBITDA improvement of $4 million was the direct result of the improved gross margin and lower SG&A. AMG Engineering signed $67 million in new orders during the quarter, generating a 1.25 times book-to-bill ratio. Order backlog as of September 30th was $153 million, an increase of 11% from June 30th, 2015. Within engineering, the euro depreciation reduced revenues, as noted earlier, but had minimal impact on EBITDA. The weak euro improves the competitiveness of this business versus our non-European-based competitors. AMG Engineering is in the process of implementing its cost savings measures, but the full benefits of the plan to streamline its workforce and implement its new strategic purchasing process will not be fully realized until the fourth quarter of 2015. AMG incurred restructuring charges in the quarter. Those primarily relate to the final disposition of AMG's antimony mine in Turkey. Following the disposal, AMG has no remaining assets or interest in this entity. AMG had net finance income of $1.5 million in the third quarter of 2015 as compared to finance expense of $3.5 million in the comparative period. There are two primary reasons for this variance. The first and most obvious is due to the lower overall debt levels and lower interest rates. The second reason is related to the final settlement of a long-disputed financial debt. This settlement led to the reversal of $2.1 million of accrued finance expense in the quarter. AMG's tax expense continued to be volatile in the first 9 months of 2015. The largest driver of the year-over-year variance relates to changes in the valuation of the Brazilian currency. Movements in the Brazilian real exchange rate impact the valuation of the company's net deferred tax assets. The 2015 effective tax rate was adversely affected by non-deductible refinancing costs of $5.4 million incurred in the second quarter of 2015 and non-deductible Turkey losses incurred in the third quarter. Due to the volatile nature of the company's deferred tax balances, AMG believes that the cash tax rate is a more meaningful metric. AMG paid taxes of $3.7 million in the first 9 months of 2015, as compared to tax payments of $4.5 million in the first 9 months of 2014. For the first 9 months of 2015, AMG's effective cash tax rate is 14%, as compared to 20% in the first 9 months of 2014. AMG continues to evaluate ways to more effectively manage deferred taxes, which are the driver of the volatility. AMG continues to employ a disciplined approach to capital spending. Capital spending decreased by 23% to $5.2 million in the third quarter of 2015. Maintenance capital for the third quarter was $3.4 million, or 65% of total spend. Total forecast CapEx spend for 2015 is expected to be between $20 and $25 million. The planned graphite expansion, as contemplated by the 40% investment in this business, will contribute to higher levels of spending in the fourth quarter and in 2016. In terms of liquidity, AMG's balance sheet is exceptionally strong, and we are in full compliance with all debt covenants as of September 30, 2015. AMG continued to more efficiently utilize its cash as it repaid $46 million in gross debt during the quarter. The net debt position also continued to decline to $20 million, as of September 30, 2015, providing us with the increased financial flexibility as we explore strategic options. Net debt to LTM EBITDA declined to 0.23 times as of September 30th. That concludes my remarks. I would now like to pass the floor to Eric Jackson, AMG's Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you, Amy. Although prices for the majority of our products continue to be exceptionally weak and volatile, all of our operating businesses continue to be profitable and deliver strong operating cash flow. This is the result of aggressive steps we have taken to manage price risk, optimize working capital, improve productivity, and lower our cost structures. The result is that we are delivering significantly higher levels of profitability and operating cash flow than we were able to deliver in previous market downturns. Despite our aggressive approach to price risk management, however, rapidly falling metal prices, of course, result in lower earnings for most of our businesses. The continuing collapse of ferrovanadium, nickel, and molybdenum prices had a particularly negative impact on our quarterly results. In AMG Critical Materials, AMG Vanadium continues to be profitable and generate a strong return on capital employed, despite almost record low prices for ferrovanadium, nickel, and molybdenum. The ferrovanadium spot price for at the end of the third quarter was the lowest since January 2004, and prices have continued to weaken. Market prices of ferrovanadium, nickel, and moly were 30%, 43%, and 54% lower than in the same quarter in the prior year. AMG Vanadium signed a multi-year agreement to extend its existing long-term relationship with a major oil refinery operator in the Alberta oil sands, and continue to reduce its cost position through lean initiatives and also increased market share in North America. We believe that AMG Vanadium is the only profitable ferrovanadium producer at today's price levels. AMG Silicon delivered exceptionally strong third quarter operating results. Year-over-year improvement was primarily the result of a successful risk management program for silicon sales, lower energy prices, and improved operating metrics. AMG Antimony and AMG Superalloys continued to effectively manage price volatility and increase sales volumes in the quarter. AMG Antimony maintained quarter-over-quarter profitability in local currency terms despite a 27% reduction in prices. And AMG Superalloys continued to deliver strong operating results also in a weak priced environment. AMG Titanium Alloys and Coatings performed substantially better than the prior year on a local currency basis and in line with our expectations. The titanium aluminide business expansion is ongoing and deliveries to customers under our long-term contracts are on plan. AMG Aluminum's quarterly results were lower than prior year, primarily the result of a reduction in pricing of coal products that are sold to the North American steel industry. The management team has been successful in reducing fixed costs to partially offset weaker margins and is working on a number of initiatives to additionally lower costs and increase capacity utilization. AMG tantalum and niobium gross margin was impacted by lower sales volumes due to timing of shipments and, as Amy mentioned, the price adjustment following the amendment of AMG's long-term sales contract. The mine in Brazil continues to operate at full capacity, although timing of shipments can have a material impact on quarterly results. Our focus continues to be on increasing mineral processing recoveries and processing and progressing byproduct revenue initiatives. AMG Engineering's third quarter 2015 EBITDA was the highest in 9 quarters, driven by a much improved order intake in the fourth quarter of 2014 and the first half of 2015. Order intake of $67.4 million in the third quarter 2015 was attributable to strong sales of heat treatment furnaces for the automotive market, remelting furnaces for the aerospace market, and induction furnaces for powder metallurgical applications. Thanks to the consistently strong levels of order intake in recent quarters, AMG Engineering's order backlog of $153 million at the end of the third quarter is the highest since Q4 2012. AMG Engineering's new product lines also continue to gain traction. These products include vacuum creep forming furnaces, which allow shaping of extreme forms of ultra hard glass, plasma remelting furnaces to recycle titanium scrap, synchrotherm heat treatment furnaces, and powder metallurgical induction furnaces for aerospace and additive manufacturing applications. The previously announced plan to reduce costs and rationalize a number of underperforming product lines is on schedule. In the last 12 months, AMG Engineering has reduced staffing by approximately 50 people, and we continue to target annualized cost savings of $7 million. I would now like to pass the floor to Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chief Executive Officer. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. In regard to our corporate strategy, we are a critical materials company. We seek to build our core critical materials business through industry consolidation, expansion of existing growth businesses, process innovation, and product development. Since our last quarterly update, prices of ferrovanadium, nickel, and molybdenum have declined by 9%, 19%, and 22% respectively. Despite the negative impact of these price declines on earnings, AMG expects to generate 2015 full-year EBITDA of approximately $80 million and further reduce net debt by year-end. AMG Engineering expects to return to historic levels of profitability in 2016. The high order backlog, successful launch of new product lines, and lower cost base positions the division well for increased levels of profitability in 2016. AMG Critical Materials will continue to operate profitably in all business units despite unfavorable euro to US dollar currency translation effects and extremely low metal prices. In this challenging environment, AMG's management target is to maintain current levels of profitability in 2016 and continue to generate strong operating cash flow. Operator, we would now like to open the line for questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on your phone line will indicate when your line is open to ask a question. Please state your name before posing the question. Again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question over the phone. We will now take our first question from Philip Nagoso from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I think overall a good result given the sharp decline in metal prices. But I was wondering if you could maybe give a bit of a guidance what we should take as a run rate for the critical materials division if prices remain at really at current levels, because even in October prices on average are down like 20% versus Q3. So I was wondering if you could maybe give a guidance on that, what you see as a run rate for the division. And then I was also wondering if you could give a CAPEX guidance for 2016. And you also mentioned that you're looking at, given the balance sheet, strong balance sheet, you will be looking at strategic options. Could you maybe elaborate on that, on what specific things you're looking at? Thank you.
Well, the guidance on critical materials, metal prices, and the consequences is difficult. Let me remind you that several of our unit, relevant prices for several of our units are forward sold prices.
Mm-hmm.
So we are impacted in very different ways at different times in different price movements. And it would be misleading to give a general guidance here. Unfortunately, I would like to do it to help you for your analysis, but it's very difficult because it might be misleading. In our conversion businesses where we are, so in our businesses where we are long, because we are, for example, mining, or we have long-term supply contracts, in those businesses we have various ways of hedges in place, namely forward sales, partly long-term forward sales, or we have fees which are contracted and which are not volatile at all. And these hedge mechanisms are one of the main reason why we are performing better than certain peers, which are more dependent on spot sales. In our conversion businesses, we manage price risk in order to achieve margin stability, which of course is more challenging when prices are low and falling. But the picture is very diverse, and I would want to simplify it into a guidance, which, as I said, might be misleading. As regard to CapEx, was that your question, CapEx?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's correct.
2016. I think it's too early. We're in the middle of our planning process right now to figure out what the CapEx planning is. It will be higher next year than it was this year because we are expecting to do the graphite expansion that we've been talking about for a few quarters now, given the investment that was made earlier this year. But I think it's a little too early to give guidance since we're in the middle of our planning process to determine what projects make sense and don't. And we are being selective in that process given what is happening in the critical materials business.
Okay. As regard to acquisitions, AMG has a history of acquisitions, and as you have surely noted, we stopped acquiring companies in 2011, although we always were tempted to further consolidate our position in various of our niche industries. But we stopped in order to focus on net debt and gross debt reduction. That has been very successful, and we are approaching a level where we practically have zero debt. Now, that, of course, is combined with the fact that prices of acquisitions have come down in line with the collapse in metal prices. So we are working on opportunities, but it is not possible to time those because acquisitions are having their own timeline, and it is also not possible to name whom we target. But let me assure you that in almost every single of our 8 critical materials business units, we have industry consolidation opportunities through acquisitions. These are very much on our mind because in our strategy or philosophy, we feel that industry consolidations are low risk because when you consolidate in your own niche, you know the suppliers, you know the customers, you know the you have the gut jacket, you know how to behave, and that is a clear-cut priority here. And the last acquisition which we did, which was in 2011, namely the consolidation in the aluminum master alloy market through the acquiring of KB Alloys in the United States, demonstrated how positive it is to industry consolidation through a consequential working capital reduction and consolidation of a cost basis. So okay. I hope that gives you some guidance.
Yeah, where, thank where, you. It does. Thank that, you.
Okay.
We will now take our next question from Philip DePaul from ING Banking. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Good morning, all. Philip DePaul, ING. A couple of questions also from my side, please. Following up on the earlier question on the guidance and more specifically the guidance for 2016, given that the engineering third quarter EBITDA was already, I think, ahead of expectations and understood there's still more to come in terms of delivery of cost savings, so that should progress further going into the fourth quarter and into next year, I would think. So do I read the guidance for next year for EBITDA to remain roughly flat? Is more caution on the critical material side, taking into account where current metal prices are? And then the second question is on the balance sheet also. In terms of cash allocation, so I understood CapEx will be a bit higher next year. But when it comes to making a choice between growing the dividend or doing acquisitions, do I understand correctly that your first choice would be to do acquisitions instead of raising the dividend further? Excuse me. And third question is on the extension of your long-term relationship in spent catalyst activities. Could you perhaps talk a bit more in what ways the existing agreement has been amended, if it has been amended? And the final question is on the mining project in Mozambique, the Anquade project. Could you give us an indication of where we should expect your cash cost to be per ton of metal produced? Those are my questions.
Okay. Philip, the engineering business is steadily improving, and the reason for that is that through product development and market positions, we have positioned the company in relatively stable and good trends. To give you an example, the titanium, the use of that, the almost explosive use of titanium in all parts of the next generation and present generation aerospace structures has led to a strong production of scrap, manufacturing scrap in titanium worldwide. And that has a necessity as a consequence to bring that scrap flow back into primary production of titanium. And we are operating and offering technologies to do that. That is one sub-trend, so to speak, of big trends which is favoring us. There are other such trends. And so we benefit from that when you think about, for example, a very strong development in the coating of turbine blades, where we are world market leader, and we experience a strong development here. So engineering will benefit from those trends, and that is a positive, compensating hopefully and probably the negatives which come from the disastrous metal price development. As regard to dividend, we have stated before that we have started to pay dividends in a moderate way, and that's what we will do. As regard to the contract in spent catalysts, we do not want to comment in detail, but let me tell you that presently we are operating in many ways under multi-year contracts, and these contracts are essentially one of the main contracts we are probably thinking about when you ask that question. That contract has been renewed for a multi-year period. It's essentially the same conditions as it used to be. Okay. So that is a good thing. As regard to mining, we have been especially cautious in preparing the Ankoabe mine for production. Let me remind you that this mine is a reopening of a mine that we have access to a grid for electricity supply, which is an exceptionally positive thing in the location where we are. We have tested in our world-class laboratories, which are absolutely world-leading in graphite. We have selected that property because of the quality of the graphite, which is very suitable to be fed into our worldwide marketing effort in high purity graphite. Behind that mine, which is now financed by partly to a large extent by the German government, which has required a second feasibility study, so that mine is operating now, or that in the construction is following two separate quality control systems, our own and then the government's. And we have the government involvement, of course, was done also because of the political risk containment, which you can view as a byproduct of that. We have a second mining project behind it, which is much larger, which is optional, because we, of course, are aware of the several trends which are probably affecting the graphite demand, or will lead probably to shifts in the graphite demand given the demand for graphite in the energy storage area. These are well-known trends, and we don't want to be unprepared. So we have our structure is prepared for that. We're operating now four mines in various countries, and after Ankoabe, we will develop that further. We are also thinking about special financing methods, which would result in a situation where our return on capital employed, which is temporarily negatively impacted by such large investments, would be hedged.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Frank Klassen from Rabobank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. Frank Klassen, Rabobank. Two questions, please. First, on your net debt, that was obviously quite a strong performance, quite a strong reduction in Q3, 22 million. Could you give us an idea how much of this 22 million was made up by the one-off payment from GAM you received on the renegotiation of the tantalum supply contract? And secondly, you talk about the return to historical levels of profitability in engineering systems. Can you remind us what do you consider as historical profitability? And secondly, is Is the spin-off of Engineering Systems still on your management agenda? Thank you.
With respect to the operating cash flow and the how much was related to the payment, we can't disclose those terms because of the confidentiality we have with our customers. So, unfortunately, we cannot answer that question.
On your question on historical levels of profitability in engineering, it comes to my mind. Two ranges come to my mind. One is between 20 and 25, and the other is between 20 and 30. As regard to engineering spin-off, the engineering spin-off years ago came into a debate internally and externally as we had a very large debt load. And there was sort of the guiding light was is it possible to reduce debt by $200 million by selling engineering? The debt when the net debt was at that time I don't recall exactly but was $220 million net debt. And that was the consideration we received advice from banks and from analysts. To do that, we tested the market at the time. In the meantime, we have reduced net debt from 220 million to 20 million by 200 million without selling engineering. In the meantime, we also have become world market leader in titanium aluminides, which is the most important product development in AMG. Where we are sole supplier to the aerospace industry worldwide with customers from SNECMA and Pratt & Whitney and MTU and General Electric. And this development, which is based on long-term contracts and is growth-oriented, would not have been possible if there had not been a strong cooperation, an extremely strong cooperation between the furnace development efforts of ALD and the operating efforts of our AMG titanium and coating subsidiary or unit. This is just one example. There are other examples. The world is now heavily dependent on more pure, ultra-pure, super-fine, ultra-pure materials, which is the big trend in the high-end critical materials. Many of the metallic critical materials you need new furnace generations operating under higher temperatures, under difficult situations in as regard to the combination of alloys, and the cooperation between our operating units in these materials and engineering is very intense. Let me remind you, our biggest plant in the super alloys and in the titanium alloys operates 11 vacuum furnaces. One plant, 11 vacuum furnaces. So there's a strong highway of travel between the engineering and the units who are developing those ultra-pure materials. Now, as regard to general strategy, in a situation like present, where we have low debt and low-priced acquisition opportunities, we are in acquisition mode. And not in the investment mode. That's as a guidance.
Okay, thank you very much.
Again, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now take our next question from Joost van der Sloo from Kempen & Co. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everybody. I have one remaining question on the tantalum business. We've seen in this quarter that the volumes are lower due to some delays in orders and the prices have come down. Can you give a little bit of guidance on what we can expect going forward? Are the volumes going to be up again, and what can we expect about pricing?
Well, the tantalum price, I remarked earlier that in the areas where we are long, genuinely long because we are vertically integrated upstream, in those areas we have a tendency of securing long-term prices, which make us independent of short-term price movements. And that, of course, is also the case in tantalum, but also in other areas. That's a key management instrument which we have been developing over the years. It was difficult to develop because it is not easy to find an equilibrium in markets like that on a contractual basis, but that's what we do. Therefore, we are less an expert in the tantalum market because we are to a very little extent only in the spot market. Our mine production is sold.
And with respect to volumes, there was an anomaly last year where there was more there was an extra shipment, and these can be large shipments shipped last year that just didn't happen this year. So it really is a timing differential in terms of volumes as opposed to some trend.
Okay. And the change in contract with GUM, what would be the impact going forward? Is it substantial, or can you give a little bit of guidance there?
The press release which we made on this GUM contract amendment was carefully formulated together with our partner, namely GUM. And we agreed that for competitive reasons, that's all what we want to say. To say something here, for example, this quarter, there was no immaterial impact, and I think I don't want to say more. Our relationship to GUM has been developed very positively. We are now a 10% shareholder. We are on the board of the parent company, GUM Pty Limited in Australia, and that is a very positive development which enables us to think about ways of learning from both sides of the upstream and the downstream, and that is a very good development, and we consider that to be a value.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Philip Ngotho from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking some additional questions. I was actually wondering if you maybe could share your view on more on the market and in terms of the vanadium market, but also antimony market, and where you see what your view is regarding the prices at the moment. And especially, for example, the antimony market, I understand that it's also being impacted by the Fanya warehouse situation in China, which is supposedly having large levels of inventories. I was wondering if you could maybe share your views on what you're hearing in the market and whether there's risk for more downside just because of this Fanya warehouse situation, which has also impacted, for example, indium prices.
Well, it hasn't impacted us at all. And as regard to antimony, in general, our antimony business has been profitable in a relatively stable way compared to other niche materials, critical materials. It is a slight trend that lower prices lead to lower margins, but we have substantial profitability in low prices and in high prices. And we are a market leader in Europe, and we have a very stable customer universe, and this business is a chemical business, very, very stable, and we are not too much impacted by price levels. And as again, this warehouse it's no impact. So that's antimony. As regard to vanadium, there is a theory mostly at universities that commodity prices somehow approach the marginal cost level. In vanadium, not one vanadium producer, to our knowledge, in the world is profitable other than us. So we are cost leader, and we are profitable at low prices, and also at very low prices. Nobody else is, to our knowledge, from China to Russia to South Africa to Brazil. Vanadium producers presently are suffering under the low prices. The historically biggest producer in South Africa, to our knowledge, is operating under a bankruptcy code. Certain newcomers have enormous losses recorded in quarterly statements. So we expect certain reduction of capacity, not our capacity, and a correction of that market to higher prices. However, we cannot predict when that will happen. But when it happens, it will probably happen materially. When I look at the pattern of what happened in the past in similar situations, the high and the low in vanadium is astonishing. When you look at 10-year high, so the highest price in 10 years, I think, was something like $60, and we know what's now below six, so 10 times. We look forward to when it's 60 again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Again, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no more questions over the telephone at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, operator. That concludes our call for today.
Thank you. Thank you for participating.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect.